This is FSU softball player Mac Leonard, and you are listening to the C-Gap Blitz Podcast.
Big congrats to the Florida State Lady Noles, 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. They'll host a regional and a super regional if they make it that far on their bid to get back to Women's College World Series out in Oklahoma. Mac Leonard did the intro to the show this evening. She had a phenomenal ACC tournament, really busted out. Key hits helping the Noles win not only the outright ACC title, but also the ACC tournament back-to-back years. Hats off to my beloved Lady Noles. Thanks to ESPN Plus and the ESPN app, I, for the first time ever, I was able to watch at least some of every single game this year. There were a few games where I had to catch it after work or lunch break or whatever because they played in the middle of the day. But that ESPN Plus app that I got with my Hulu and my Disney Plus package, money well spent, because a lot of those games, well, all of the games, really, were showed on that streaming service. So that was a lot of fun. As you know, if you follow me on social media or know me or whatever, I am a big Florida State Seminole softball fan. That's my second favorite sport out of Florida State University behind the football team, and I've followed them for several years now, and excited to see how far they can go, to see if they can get another shot at Oklahoma. They lost to them earlier this season before conference play took off. If my memory serves me right, it was a 2-1 ball game. And they had the tying run on third with one out. Couldn't get the tying run in to keep that game going, and they lost. I believe it was 2-1. But really anxious to see if they can get back there. I'd be a nervous wreck if they do end up playing Oklahoma. But I'd like to see them get another shot to take down the big dogs on the block. Welcome into the C-Gap Blitz Podcast. It is Tuesday night, May the 16th. Good show for you tonight. I'm going to talk Devi draft results here in just a little bit, and then I'm going to give you some rookie landing spots that I like, some rookie landing spots that I don't like from the NFL draft. But first, we have a little bit of some news to get to, so let's talk about that real quick.
Here's what we know.
If you were paying attention to the NFL schedule release came out last week, and I put it on social media, that to me it's a big yawn after week one. Everybody gets all pumped up about the schedule release. It's just, it's one more step to football season, and I get that. But I don't see what's the big deal. Okay, I get the big deal of the draft. I get the big deal of pro days. Get the big deal of the combine. With the schedule release, to me, I mean, I'm interested to see who plays in week one, because I'm already starting to formulate what my fantasy week's going to look like in week one. Now, obviously, it's super, super early to do that, but I do it anyway because I'm a nerd and I've got nothing left to do with my life. Work and fantasy, that's all it is. So, you know, and I don't work past week one. I don't look past week one in any of my leagues. For one, you got to deal with what's in front of you. And two, I like the surprise of who I play in week two. I don't want to know who I play in week two until it pops up on Sleeper or whatever service I'm using, Yahoo or ESPN or whatever, who I got in week two. So all I'm worried about is week one. After that, I just don't see the big deal. I know they're talking about Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen in week one. That's cool. And they're talking about who plays who in week 16. You know, I think they got the Bengals and the Chiefs in Week 16. I don't know. I saw something about that. Who cares right now? Okay, those two teams are going to look so much different in Week 16 than they do right now on May the 16th or August when they kick the season off. Why are we worried about Week 16? To me, the NFL schedule release, they make a big deal about it. It shouldn't be. And I know people get worked up about it, and they're all excited about who their team plays throughout the course of the year. Find out as you go. That's my personal pitch on it. You know, it's cool. It's whatever. But I don't really get all jacked up like some people do. I will say, on the whole, I'm very curious to see how the Jets do through the upcoming season. I haven't looked at their schedule. Obviously, I'm not going to. But I'm curious to see how this works out. They got some tough teams in their division. Okay, Miami's good. Buffalo's really good, of course. You know, the Patriots, to be determined. They're kind of in a rebuilding phase or remodeling or something. And then you got the Jets. That AFC East is, it's intriguing to see what Aaron Rodgers is going to bring to that team. I was watching Good Morning Football this morning, and there's some Quinnen Williams issues. I don't know if it's a contract thing or what, but Kyle Brandt's pretty convinced that they'll get it worked out before the season. I mean, the guy had double-digit sacks last year, and if you're a Jet or an organization, you hate to lose that. But it'll be really interesting to see how the Jets' seasons go. Breece Hall coming back. You know, you got Aaron Rodgers. They brought in Alan Lazard. And you also got Garrett Wilson. I mean, it's a very intriguing team, the Jets, in 2023. So I would say that if I was really intrigued about one team, that might be the one. Okay. We're going to go into, we had our actual Debbie Hitman, year six, with our Debbie draft. That would have been Saturday evening. And I'm going to go over the first couple of rounds, tell you the parameters of what this league's about. And we're going to get into that right now. So as I stated, this is going to be year six of the Debbie Hitman Debbie League. And if you're not familiar with the Debbie process, Debbie means developmental, where you draft college talent, and it sits on paper until it translates to the NFL, where you already have these players when they go pro. This was a very interesting draft, probably the most competitive one we've had, as everybody is growing in their knowledge of Devy and getting better each and every year. You can see it. I usually throw the records away once we're a good year removed from that season, but if you was to go back on paper, you would see the progression of every owner on learning the process and things like that. So I'm going to get right into this. I'm not going to go with names of the players in the league because you guys don't care about that, but I'm just going to go down with the players, and we're going to touch on these first couple of rounds, kind of get you an idea on who was going where, in case you're in a Debbie. Now, keep in mind, this is just only an eight-team league. It's been an eight-team league since its inception. We did have two guys opt out of the draft, so we only had six drafters this weekend. But you can set your rules up to your Debbie league however you like it. We've got a unique set of rules, and Brian Wickham and I came up with this, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when we decided to kick this league off, that we needed to make it a little bit different. It's 1.5 PPR, okay? It's full-on IDP, and we wanted to make it as fun but as unique as possible. So we have a 10-man Devy roster, and we started, I think, with five, and then we moved straight to 10. After a couple of seasons, we expanded it to 10. So we have a 10-player Debbie roster. Now, in our Debbie league, you can make seven moves a year. Okay? So you pick up a guy's not working out, or he doesn't look good, or he doesn't look like what you think may translate to the NFL, you can use a move. and you can drop said player and pick up another player. You have seven of those. Once you're out of seven, you're done until the next season opens up. We shut the league down. We shut the Devy portion down at kickoff of the national championship game. So Devy moves will be open until then. If you don't have any left, you're done. If you make a Devy trade, there has been several trades that involve NFL players and Devy players, and we combine those. You can throw NFL picks in there. You can throw Devy picks in there. We've tried to really customize this league years ago to make it a really unique experience. So other Devy leagues that I've heard about or even are a part of don't do all these things. So it's very unique. I'm very proud of this league. I would say it's probably my favorite league out of all the leagues that I'm in throughout the landscape of my fantasy football. It's probably my favorite one. Because we kind of like my baby. You know, Brian and I created it, and it's taken off, and it's got a life of its own, sort of. So it's probably my favorite league. I always look forward to this league. I always look forward to seeing what players go where, who takes who, you know, who falls to me, who I'm able to get. And then throughout the course of the year, you guys know I love college football, so I'm always watching for new talent because you got those seven moves, like last year in another Devy league that I'm in that I created, the Devy Sharpshooters, which I'll talk about that later on another podcast because that draft is coming up pretty soon. So I stumbled across Jade Knott, freshman running back out of Cal. And I was like, well, I like what I see from him early on. He is a freshman, but I'm willing to hold him until he, you know, makes it or breaks it in college, and we'll see what he does at the next level. So that's what this is. And you can have 10 IDP guys if you wanted on your Devy roster. What you really need to do is you need to focus on what you need to translate. And this is what I tell people who want to ask me questions is keep your Devy cupboard stocked. Okay, as long as you keep your Devy cupboard stocked, and I think I've talked about this before on this podcast, if you keep your Devy cupboard stocked, okay, it's going to translate to the NFL. And it has worked really well for me over the first 5 years of this league. So that formula, and I just picked it up on my own because when we started year one, I mean, I was always pretty in-depth in the college ranks, but like when we started year one, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I made my own formula. I didn't get this from a podcast. I wasn't even listening to podcasts back then. I don't know what a podcast even was back then. So I had to make my own formula, but I'm like, well, if you get them here and it translates to here, if you can keep your Debbie cupboard stocked, it's just going to keep rolling over for you under the NFL. So far, so good. And that formula's worked for me so far. And I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't work for anybody else, because I'm nobody special. So we're going to run down the first couple of rounds here. And like I said, we had two guys opt out. So if we would have had our full eight, some of these picks may have landed differently. I'm going to start at the top. Malachi Nelson goes at the 101, quarterback in waiting for USC. I love this pick here. I think he's going to be a first-round NFL prospect at some point. I think he can use a little bit of a weight. He can hit the weight room a little bit. But watching him throw on film, you like what you see. I really like that. At number two, Zachariah Branch, wide receiver from USC, follows right there with Nelson. And I've said this before, too. You want a piece of that Lincoln Riley system. Okay, get players from Lincoln Riley's system, and you're probably going to do okay as they translate into the NFL. At the 103, Cade Klubnik handed the reins down in Clemson. He's going to be the guy there with DJ transferring out. Great pick at the 103. The 104 wasn't in, so the 105, Michael Penix, quarterback out of Washington. Interesting story. He was at Indiana, got hurt, transferred to Washington. Had a couple really good years out there. Coming in at the 106 was Dante Moore, incoming freshman quarterback for UCLA. And you're looking at 6'2", 195, you know, It's not bad. He could hit the weight room, get a little bit of weight. Watching some film on him, really like that guy as well. So, and, you know, they're replacing Dorian Thompson Robinson. He has a chance to come in as a freshman and compete. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Coming in at the 1-7, Cedric Baxter. This one broke my heart because I didn't have a first-round pick because I had traded it away to get Caleb Williams earlier in this spring. But Cedric Baxter, the phenomenal freshman running back going to Texas, I wanted him. I picked at the 201 and the 202, and he was one pick away from falling to me. I really thought he was going to make it. And I went after him after the draft and the trade, and it wasn't going to happen. So Cedric Baxter, if you put on film from that guy, it doesn't take long for you to be like, holy crap, this guy's got some stuff. So great first-round pick there. Recapping the first round, Malachi Nelson, Zachariah Branch, Cade Klubnik, Michael Penix, Dante Moore, and Cedric Baxter. Going on to the second round, I had back-to-back picks. I was pretty ecstatic that Bucky Irving from Oregon dropped to me at the 201. Like I said, he probably would not have had all eight members of this draft been present in the draft. And what I mean by opting out is they opted out. They chose not to draft so they can pick up players at their leisure going forward. At the 2-2, I took Drew Allar, quarterback from Penn State, taking over for Sean Clifford. He's a young quarterback. I really wasn't planning on taking a quarterback in this draft because I'm decently stocked at my quarterback room. But I thought at the 2-2, he wouldn't make it much farther, most likely. So I better make the move here. At the 2-3, another good pick by for a guy here who also took Cedric Baxter. He follows Cedric Baxter up with Emeka Abuka from Ohio State at the 2-3. I thought that was a great value for him. Same guy had back-to-back picks due to the opt-out. He took Carson Steele, transfer from Ball State to UCLA. Very intriguing pick, and really interested to see what he does, you know, at a Power 5 school. We know what he did at Ball State, so really interested to see what he does out there at UCLA. You know, he could possibly have a freshman quarterback as well, so they may lean on him a little bit if Moore does get the start at quarterback as a true freshman. At the 1-6, Brandon Ennis, wide receiver from Ohio State. This is a great pick at the 1-6 because what does Ohio State do? They just pump out wide receivers over and over again. So really, even if you are taking a freshman who is a little bit deeper on the depth chart at Ohio State, there's nothing wrong with it because eventually, you know, these guys, Marvin Harrison's going to go pro, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba went pro, and these guys are going to work their way up. So if you got the talent and you've got the room and your NFL team is built for holding guys for a couple of seasons, these are great picks because now when they're big time, I'm going to use Marvin Harrison as a perfect example. Okay, another guy in the league drafted Marvin Harrison, and he was a senior in high school. Okay, was content with holding him all this time, and now look at it. Okay, he's cultivated himself to be probably, it's a long way away, but he could be better than his dad, who's a Hall of Famer. And he's kept him this long. So, I mean, look how it played out for him. He drafted him back then, drafted the name, 100%, no doubt about it, drafted the name. Okay, but look how it might work out for him now. Okay, first round draft pick, and that's easy. Injury free, could be top five. There is one thing I read a tweet somewhere. Somebody said he's the 101 next year. I'm not ruling it out because he's phenomenal. Back to my original point with Brandon Ennis. At the 2-6 here, Brian is going to hold Brandon Ennis until he works the way up and becomes that next guy. Because I'm not going to go down the list of Ohio State wide receivers that are in the NFL that are working out. Okay? I mean, I'm just not going to – I don't really need to. If you're a follower of football and a fantasy enthusiast, you already know who they are. At the 1-7, I had three picks in the first round. I took Jared Verse, defensive end out of Florida State. It was a homer pick, 50-50. because last year I took Will Anderson in the first round of the draft, and I'm trying to get into drafting some high-end defensive talent to stock up my defensive side of the ball. My offense looking pretty good on my NFL side. I've got some really solid talent on the offensive side already that I already had on my Devy team. So I really wanted Jared Verse. I think he's smaller than Jermaine Johnson. He might not be as fast, but I think if he gets his hands, a little bit more technique with his hands, I think he's way stronger than Johnson was. And I think he can be a high-end first-round draft pick, barring injury. He was already projected to be a first-round draft pick this year, decided to come back to Florida State. So, homer pick, I'm going to say 50-50, but I took a chance because I'd rather him not do good and then be on my team than him do good for somebody else. And that's a line from Brian Wickham from several years ago. Okay, going on to the third round, because I went pretty quick. I'm going to throw a few of these names at you here. Some other big names that went at the 3-1, Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU. At the 1-2, Justin Haynes, running back out of Alabama. At the 1-3, Brock Bowers from Georgia. This is a great pick by a guy who took over an orphan team. And we don't run tight ends in this league, but we do have flex plays. So he can slide him right in a flex spot. And Brock Bowers is, to me, and this isn't a little bias and Gator hatred and stuff, I like Brock Bowers a little bit more than I liked Pitts a few years ago. So, I mean, the guy is freakishly talented, and he plays on a very good team. I get that. But, I mean, what you see what they're doing in Georgia. Okay, they're winning national championships over and over again. They continue to pump out five-star talent. And if you watch the draft, it was Georgia, Georgia, Georgia. These guys go to the NFL. Brock Bowers, I don't know. I've always said that you got to give a tight end a year to get, you know, if you draft a tight end, just, you know, taxi his butt for the first year. You're not taxiing Brock Bowers, just like you weren't taxiing Pitts. So this is a great pick by Marcus at the 3-3 with Brock Bowers in the league that we don't run tight ends. But guess what? He could put him in and it'll translate into maybe a very big possible for his flex spot. At the 1-5, Antonio Williams, wide receiver from Clemson. Another great pick by Mike Adamson here. I know I wasn't talking about names, but I got to put some names with the players, because you're looking at Michael Penix, Cedric Baxter, Carson Steele, Emeka Abuka, and Antonio Williams. I mean, that is really, really good. I think as a whole, Mike Adamson won this draft. If just looking at it on what we see on paper and what I see on film, I think he made some really, really good picks here. And that was what I said earlier at the beginning of the show, when you can see the growth from our league in the and how they go about drafting and how they go about, you know, stocking up their cupboard, I call it. Mike did a very, very good job in doing so with this draft. I think this is by far his best draft, and he looks really good, you know, in years to come if everything works out for him. If I had some honorable mentions, I'll go down here. At the 1-4, Roma Dunze. Evan Stewart fell to the 1-3. Trevor Etienne goes at the 5-3. Bo Nix, another pick by Mike, at the 5-5. You know, I think those are just some names. That's actually the end of the draft pretty much for the most part. There was a couple picks in the sixth round, but all we do in that league is you draft until you refill your team. That's another unique feature to our league. Like, say if you have 10 guys and you lose 9, you have one guy, you have 9 picks in the Devy draft. If you have 10 guys and you only lose 3, it means you still have 7 guys in your Devy squad. You only have 3 picks. So you draft until your team's refilled, and then you're done. So that's a brief overview of how our Devy draft went. I can say I don't do mocks. This was not a mock. This was real life. This was up to date. And I'll be coming to you when we do our Devy Sharpshooters draft, which is a brand new league. I've started last year. We're going into year two this year. Be interested to see how that league goes. Different set of players. It's a 10-man league, and it's a whole different set. I think myself and one other guy from the Devy Hitmen are in that league. Everything else is new. So it's fun to play with different people, and you get different aspects and, you know, different league mates and stuff. So it's also networking. That's the league where we have people literally from coast to coast. So it's real fun. Okay. If you listen to that and you think, hey, that was pretty good. I like the way that landing spot looked good. This was good. This was good. This guy reached. You know, reach out to me on Twitter at CGapBlitz. Let me know what you think. Because, you know, I love Devy and I love talking Devy. So I can go on Twitter, man, and go down to Twitter Devy rabbit hole and I can just tweet about Devy, you know, until it's time to go to bed. Okay. Landing spots, rookie landing spots in the NFL. And I did stay away from defense for this podcast. I stayed strictly offensive guys. I didn't go down to IDP. The one that I really love would be Will Anderson. When Houston traded up and took him in the first round, they hit back-to-back home runs. They hit back-to-back home runs with C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. That was great. I mean, I think they won the first round, and it's hard to argue that they didn't. So I'm going to give you five that I like, five that I don't like, and I got a couple of honorable mentions. Okay, we'll start. You know what? Let's start with the dislikes, because this is where I might get a little bit of pushback from some people. But at the very top, and this is really not in any particular order, but I mean, I guess it kind of is. The one that I really don't care for, and as far as fantasy goes, is Zach Charbonnet. Going to Seattle, and I feel for my brother Kane, because he had Zach Charbonnet and Israel Abanaconda, and they both landed in fantasy nightmares as far as landing spots. Zach Charbonnet to Seattle, after what we saw from Kenneth Walker as a rookie, I'm not sure what we're seeing here. I don't know if this is just some support in case Walker gets hurt, because he was banged up last year, or if it's screaming, hey, we really doesn't care what we saw from him, and we could see Charbonnet coming in and challenging him, and if it works out, maybe we move on from him. To me, that all spells fantasy disaster, at least for the first half of your fantasy season, okay? Because I'm still rolling out Kenneth Walker week one and week two, and probably even week three. I mean, I guess after week two, we're going to kind of get an idea of what we're looking at with the splits and carries and targets. But as of right now, that's Zach Charbonnet, who was really riding high above, you know, the top couple of running backs in this draft. Landing spot stunk for him. Right behind him, I do have Israel Abanaconda. To me, Abanaconda is a little bit of a teardrop down from Charbonnet. But I still think with the Jets taking him, it kills his fantasy value because they're not getting away from Breece Hall. Breece Hall is supposed to be back from injury, supposed to be raring to go 100% by training camp. So to me, Abanaconda is just a bad spot. It's a bad spot. You've carried him in Devy for a year or two, and you're like, man, this really stinks. If I'm an Abanaconda owner, and I did own one share of him, and I think I traded him in our Devy Hitman League. I'm taxiing him, and I'm leaving him in there. I'm not bringing him out the whole entire season. It's not going to be, oh, well, 1 week, Abanaconda had 10 carries for 112 yards and two touchdowns. I'm still holding fast. I don't like the landing spot for either one of those two guys, and those were probably my number one and number two as far as dislikes at landing spot. Number three for me is Deuce Vaughn to the Dallas Cowboys. That's a head-scratcher, man, and it makes me just shake my head and say, why not? You know, why not? This kid who's like 5'6", you know, and I've said this, and there's no way I'm changing it now because he's wearing a star on his helmet. This guy has no fantasy value to me. And, you know, I'm saying this on May the 16th at 7 o'clock, and he's got no fantasy value to me. He's going to be a helper. I mean, them drafting him really just solidified Tony Pollard as a fantasy stud, as long as he stays healthy. But I don't know that you can give this guy any kind of the brunt of the load because he's so little. And I've said it before throughout this podcast since he was a big star at Kansas State. And yes, he was a fantastic college player, fantastic college fantasy player as well. His game, to me, he's so small. He just doesn't translate to the NFL. And I've said that so many times, it should be a meme somewhere. But it's just, I just don't like it. I just don't think, I mean, it was a later round pick. He was there. They took him. I get that. Give him a shot. But I don't know. To me, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't even make the team. Number four, Kayshon Boutte. And this kind of goes, it's not the landing spot worries me in New England. Because I guess if anybody can get his thick head to work, it would be Bill Belichick. Belichick's getting old. This team is in reboot or remodel mode, like I said earlier. I just don't know. I got to see more. Okay? I got the same take on him as I do Drake May from North Carolina, the second-year quarterback there and for the Tar Heels. I got to see more. Okay? Boutte was big time in college after, you know, the studs left LSU. And he kind of whined and kind of moped and was kind of the B word a little bit in college and then kind of got it together at the end of the season. You know, wishy-washy. Not sure I care for any of that. And this one here I'm probably going to get a little pushback on. Number five to me, Josh Downs. Okay, another smaller framed wide receiver from North Carolina, and I liked him in North Carolina. He was a fine player. He's going to a team where they drafted Anthony Richardson way too high. Anthony Richardson is my honorable mention of this group, so I got him back-to-back. I did that as a reason. See what I did there? Josh Downs, Anthony Richardson, two rookies coming in. Okay, I'm not sold on Anthony Richardson. About 35% of it is Gator hatred. I will give you that. I will step right up and take the ownership of it. But I just don't know if he's going to be okay. If he comes in and he's the day one starter, which everybody's talking about, if you go on Twitter, I'm in a draft. I'm in a draft that's happening right now. It's a best ball dynasty. Anthony Richardson went 102 behind Bijan Robinson in a best ball. Okay, best ball where your team automatically puts in the best players. So if Anthony Richardson isn't the starter this year, okay, it is a dynasty, I will say that, but if Anthony Richardson isn't the starter, you've wasted the 102, and you're benching the 102 for a year because he may sit. He may sit for 8 or 9 weeks. People are reaching for Anthony Richardson because of what they saw at the combine, and I'm telling you, people, stop. Stop doing it before it's too late. Yes, he's freakishly athletic. Yes, he jumped up and touched the sky. I know that. But we've got to see more because we didn't see enough in college. We didn't see enough from him in college for me to say, yes, this guy is number 102 in fantasy drafts or the number one quarterback off the board. This guy went ahead of Young and Stroud. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, who was probably the most polished quarterback in this draft class. And they're reaching for the athleticism. And that's great. That's great. If that's what they want to do, and that's what they can do, that's why it's fantasy and it's so fun. Because I could be just as wrong as I am right. But I don't see it yet. Okay? And if you go back 2 years ago when I was watching Ohio State play, I'm like, okay, C.J. Stroud replacing Justin Fields, he's not there yet. He's not there yet. But if you continue to listen to my podcast, by about the halfway point of the season, I'm like, this dude is starting to get it. He's starting to get it. Makes mistakes. All young quarterbacks make mistakes. That's what they do. That's why it's the NFL. If it was easy, I'd be playing in the NFL. But once you got to pass that, you're like, okay, Stroud's he's developing into a very good quarterback. And then last year, made huge strides. Okay, he's ahead of Anthony Richardson. People are drafting the athleticism. And they're reaching. And I just let them. Just let them reach because it's not going to be me. I would much rather have Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud than Anthony Richardson. And it's not even close for me. Not even close. Now, as much as I hate Florida, and I loathe the fact that they even have a football team, and that they made Gatorade, but I would take Anthony Richardson ahead of Will Levis. But no way in this world am I taking him at the 102 in a dynasty best ball where you're running the risk of your 102, your second pick overall in the draft sitting the bench all year long if he doesn't play. That's just my opinion. That's my opinion. And this is my podcast. I'm a very opinionated when it comes to things like that. But they're reaching. And I've seen it happen more than once. I've seen mock drafts where he's going. I've seen people talking about him like he's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And don't do it. Don't fall for it. We've seen this narrative before. Okay, Akili Smith, one-year starter. They thought he was God's gift to the quarterback position. We've seen these quarterbacks who only played a little bit of time in college struggle and fizzle out because teams push them in. They have to push them in. They have to play them because they drafted them so high. And they're paying them millions, and they got to play them because they're just sitting on the bench. And the fans want them to play because they paid them millions, and they took this guy as a big-time player. And they ruined their careers. Now, to me personally, if he ruins his career, I'm two thumbs up. But don't make the mistake in your fantasy team. Okay, if Jordan Travis comes out next year and he blows up the combine and he does all this and all that, okay, as much as I love Jordan Travis and I think he's a fantastic talent and I think his story is awesome from Florida State, I'm not taking him at the 102. As much as I love that guy and I love that team, he would not be. If I had the 102 and I needed a quarterback, it would not be him. Because you know Caleb Williams is off the board. He's 101. Don't fall for that, okay? That's just my opinion. That's my opinion. I don't see it. I could be wrong. I could be way wrong. There's been players I've been wrong about before. But on the whole, if I look at it like that, this guy just doesn't have it. Doesn't have it. Taysom Hill's one that I kind of hit on. I'm like, he's fantastic in college. He can run. He can throw. He's very multifaceted. He's not a starter in the NFL. But all that ability, all that talent, and he's a tight end who plays quarterback and throws a couple touchdown passes a month. Bigger prospect, bigger athlete, freakishly huge athlete. Not even the same. They're not even the same people. They're not even on the same. You can't even. They're not even the same comp. But it's just when it came to mind. Okay, going to my likes. Obviously, number one jumps off the page. It's a no-brainer. It's a layup. It's Bijan Robinson. Okay, we're going day one starter in Atlanta. Okay, your shares of Tyler Algier have officially hit the commode. Hit the flush button, and down the drain they go. As long as he stays healthy, he's the day one starter. And thank you, Tyler Algier, for your decent run last year. We appreciate what you did for us. Second one on my list is Jahmyr Gibbs. And when the trade happened, I was like, okay, somebody's got to go. They got too many running backs here in Detroit. Somebody's got to go. And it's not going to be David Montgomery, because he just got there. So I'm thinking, well, DeAndre Swift, looks like maybe it's goodbye time. I said, if they do keep three running backs going into camp, or these particular three running backs, Gibbs' fantasy value isn't fantastic. What do I know? Day or so later, I think it was the very next day, Swift gets traded. Bing, bang, boom. We've got a David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs combo in Detroit. And that is something I like very much. I have two shares of Jahmyr Gibbs, and all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I'm liking this. This is good. I can get on board with this. If there was three-headed monster back there in the backfield, no thank you. Two, I can get on board with. Gibbs could catch the passes, maybe score a couple long touchdowns. I got Montgomery in the league. He can be my short yardage back or whatever. I think this can work well together. So I like that landing spot. Number three, I was so thinking Dallas Cowboys were going to draft Dalton Kincaid to replace Dalton Schultz and just get another Dalton for another Dalton. But the Bills jumped up and took him right ahead of Dallas. Okay, that to me, as it should to everybody, tells you that they really wanted to solidify that tight end position. Yes, they got Dawson Knox, but if you look at the depth chart, it's not very deep behind him. Okay, Dalton Kincaid, one of those tight ends that he may you know, evolve as the year goes on. It's going to be Knox early. And if you're in dynasty leagues and you draft Dalton Kincaid, you can stash him, and his value will grow as the season goes on, and I think he'll get some more playing time. Love the pick for Buffalo. Kind of screwed my Cowboys because I really thought that he would go there since Bijan was off the board already to Atlanta. But Buffalo traded up to get him for a reason, and the reason is they're going to use him two tight end sets, or even when Knox is hurt or needs a breather, you're going to see some more of him. Like that pick there by Buffalo. Number four to me is Roschon Johnson. Went back and forth on this, and I consulted, you know, my fantasy genius on and Brian Wickham on his thought of the landing spot for Roschon Johnson, and he liked it too. So that kind of solidified, you know, my thoughts on it. I like this. It's another situation though where you go into a running back room where you could have a three-headed monster. If you put on the film from Roschon Johnson at Texas, okay, it doesn't take long to realize this dude's got some stuff. And I've been snatching up shares of him everywhere I can get him. I've been trying to trade up to get him so I can move up and take him in drafts. He actually fell to me in the league. I have, I think, two shares of him. I have a share of him in the Devy Hitman. But I think he can win this job. Okay, I think I can't say he's... They're two different backs as far as size and comparability with Khalil Herbert. But I think as a whole, he can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He's physical. He makes guys miss, and he protects himself because he's a bigger back, and he protects himself, and he is able to stay healthy. So love this Roschon Johnson pick to Chicago. I think it kind of goes back to Dalvin Cook. When Dalvin Cook got drafted by Minnesota, okay, he went in there, and they had Latavius Murray, and, you know, we're all a little bit leery of thinking, well, they drafted him in the second round. He fell to the second round because of some off-the-field issues, and it wasn't talent-wise. But you think, you know, I think, you know, by the time it all rolls around, Dalvin Cook's going to be the main guy in Minnesota. Now he has, you know, since his rookie season. I think this is a comparable situation. He can go in there, okay? He was mad that he fell. I think it was the fourth round. He was mad he fell to the fourth round anyway. So he's going to go in there with a chip on his shoulder and do his best to earn a spot, and I think he can. Maybe not week one, maybe not week three, but we get a month into the season, I think your shares of Roschon Johnson and his fantasy value are going to start creeping up. And here's something else while I'm thinking about it. If he's anywhere else in the country besides Texas, behind Bijan Robinson, he's first, second-round talent in this year's draft. That's just my opinion. At five, and this one took me a few minutes to get on board with because I really wasn't sure about his college output, and that's Jonathan Mingo going to Carolina. Compare him with Bryce Young. This one I'm not too worried about, like I was Anthony Richardson with Josh Downs, okay, because you consider the source, Bryce Young from Alabama. Little undersized. That's my biggest worry about Bryce Young. Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are my two honorable mentions on this side. You got two young guys, Bryce Young, Jonathan Mingo, pair up and move forward for as you rebuild that team offensively in Carolina. Kills my two or three shares I have of Matt Corral sitting in my taxi. Sitting here, not cutting Matt Corral yet. Okay, holding on to him, hoping he gets traded. They start the season. If you go on Sleeper, it says he's fine being a third-string quarterback. I'm not sure who in the world's okay with that, but whatever. If they trade him, I'll keep him. If he starts the season on their roster, I'll be cutting Matt Corral. Sad, because I really liked what I saw from him in college. He was very athletic, very tough, hard-nosed kid, played very tough, so... You know, he's coming back from a pretty rough injury. He was out all season. Might be the beginning of the end, but I'm hoping that he gets traded someplace and can work his way up, and we'll see what happens there. Jonathan Mingo, big kid, big receiver. Had him in my college fantasy for, I think, 2 years, and put up real good college numbers. Obviously went to Ole Miss. I wasn't sure what we was going to see as he translated to the NFL. But his draft stock's up. Everybody's talking him up. So, you know, I'm on board. I like what I see from him, and the opportunity for him is there. And I think that he can make the most of his opportunity. And like I said, if you listen to this podcast since it's beginning of time, what do I preach? I preach opportunity. It's there for that kid if he can, do the best he can and seize that. With Bryce Young, you know, they can grow together. C.J. Stroud, to me, the best quarterback in this draft class. Going to Houston, like I said earlier, Houston, I think, hit a home run in this draft, especially in the first round. They addressed two real big areas of need, and you're going to see both of those guys. Well, we're going to see Will Anderson starting on defense week one. I don't know about C.J. Stroud. I would like to believe, with him being such a high draft pick, they're going to bring him in and just throw him in there as a rookie. But, you know, I'm still holding on to Davis Mills just in case they don't, especially in two quarterback leagues. One quarterback leagues, you can flush Davis Mills. But in two quarterback leagues and Superflex, hang on to Davis Mills because we don't know yet. Okay, these questions haven't been answered. All we're doing right now is talking what we liked, what I liked and seen, and what I didn't like and seen from the landing spots. So with that being said, that wraps up my list. That wraps up my show for this evening. And you can find me on Twitter at CGAP Blitz. You can let me know what you think about all of that. My name is Chris Croswell. Thank you for listening. You can find this podcast anywhere you find podcasts. Anywhere, just type it in, CGAP Blitz. It'll pop up, Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Apple Pod. It's all over the place. I pay money. I don't even know where the money goes. It just goes. But thank you for listening. Check me out on Twitter at CGAP Blitz. And until next time, I'll see you.